All right, we're going to continue with our media availabilities here at Talladega in advance of tomorrow's 1000bulbs.com 500 with the Monster Energy Series. We are joined by playoff driver Eric Almirola, driver of the number 10, Smithfield Ford. We will open it up to questions for Eric.
Yeah.
Start with Lee and then go to Bob.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. I can remember last time you were in the playoffs, you said if I can get to the second round, I really feel like I can get to the third round. You still have that same confidence, probably even more with Stuart Haas Racing, but with you feel the same about the tracks.
Yeah, I do. These tracks, just for whatever reason throughout my career, have been really good to me. Whether it was playoff time of year or not, but Dover has always been a track that I've run well at and had a lot of confidence going to. And even with the cars that I've had for the past 6 years. So I knew that getting in the equipment at Stuart Haas Racing that Dover would be a good place for me, and I feel like we showed that last weekend and unfortunately didn't seal the deal and go to victory lane, which I felt like we should have. But Talladega's also been a good place for me. I know there's a lot of unpredictability here at Talladega, but for the most part, when you go back and look at my career and you look at Talladega, if I wasn't involved in a big wreck and I actually finished the race, usually the result was pretty good. So I feel like this could be a good weekend for us.
If you're running P2 on the last lap and Austin Dillon's ahead of you, are you going
to? Yeah, race car drivers never forget.
We'll go to Bob.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Casey Kane had announced that he was retiring because they can't figure out what's wrong as far as his dehydration issues. Do you have any concern or wondering about that, concerning that, wondering whether it could happen to you because nobody seems to be able to figure out a cause to Casey's issues?
Yeah, not really. I feel like that everybody is so, has different things that are specific to that individual. You've seen race car drivers that have major back problems and then other guys race their whole career and never have any issues. You see guys that, have issues like Casey's had, or you see guys that end up with concussion issues that, and other guys don't. I feel like it's very specific to the individual, and I wish Casey nothing but the best, and I hope that they do figure out, what is the situation. But for me, all I can go on is a personal basis for myself. And I feel like I'm in great shape. I do a lot to stay physically fit. I'm pretty in tune with what I need for hydration. Over the last probably 10 years of my career, I've worked with different sports nutritionists and physical conditioning coaches and cycling coaches and a lot of different people that have a lot of knowledge about the human body and how to make it perform at its best. And I've gained a lot of knowledge from all those people that I've worked with. And all I can say is that I put that to best use for myself, and it works for me, what I do. And that's very specific. I know a lot of other people in the cycling world or that run marathons and stuff, and everybody does something a little bit different, specific for them. But for me, I've honed in on what works for me, and I can get out of the race car, and I feel like I can run another 500 miles, or I feel great. I don't ever feel really wiped out after a race unless it's extremely, extremely hot. I'll feel a little bit of the effects from that, but on a normal everyday weekend, I don't think it's a major issue for me.
We'll go to Dustin and then Kenny.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. How do you beat Team Penske here?
I think you said it, first it's about team. You see those cars always run up front. Joey and Brad are very good at it, but you see all their cars run up front. It's not just Joey and Brad. It is about the team and the cars because, you look at Paul Menard at the spring race here and was really, really fast, led a lot of laps, won stage two. So When you look at those Penske cars, they're just fast when you come to restrictor plates. They've got something figured out that makes them really good. And then obviously, you know, Joey and Brad execute on the racetrack to put themselves in position to win. But, you know, I think it'll be about teamwork. And the one good thing that we have going for us at Stewart Haas Racing is we have the same horsepower. You know, when you come to restrictor plate races, you feel like you have a leg up on the competition when you have Doug Yates engines in your race car. That makes a big difference. They put a lot of effort into every engine that goes in our race cars, but I know Doug loves restrictor plate racing because, you know, he's won a lot of races and got a lot of checkered flags from a lot of restrictor plate tracks. So, that's one thing we have going in our favor. And then the rest is really how we execute the weekend and, you know, what we do with the race cars getting ready for the race and how, you know, our pitch strategy is and how we call the race. And then we'll just have to see, you know, in the past that most of these restrictor plate races for the last several years, the Fords have done a really good job of working together. You know, all those blue ovals seem to work together, help each other out, line up, pit together, do all of those things. So we'll see. Hopefully a blue oval will make it to victory lane, and hopefully it'll be our Smithfield one. Somebody's going to win bacon for life. Did you know that? That's our promotion this weekend. So, yeah, we've got a pretty cool paint scheme this weekend. It's the Bacon for Life Smithfield Ford Fusion. So, promoting what we have going on with the Bacon for Life promotion. If you go to your local grocery store and pick up a package of Smithfield bacon that has the Bacon for Life symbol on it, and you go online to smithfield.com/baconforlife, you're going to be entered into a opportunity to win literally bacon for the rest of your life. So, Dustin, get to your local grocery store, bud.
And one other thing, Eric, is restrictor plate racing is always viewed as such a wild card or a random type of event. But when you see, you know, like the Penske cars have done so well, we've seen Hendrick in the past, the DEI cars, how much of it of restrictor plate racing is really a randomness, or has it become less and less of that over the years? And if so, why is that from your perspective?
Yeah, I think it has. There's an element of randomness just because you don't know where the wreck's going to happen, right? You know, you've seen guys ride around in the back and a wreck happen back there. You've seen guys race and be aggressive and they wreck in the middle, and you've seen guys leading the race, side drafting each other or whatever, and make a mistake and wreck in the front of the field. So the randomness really comes from you don't know what or who or how the wreck is going to be caused and who it's going to collect. You know, I think that's where the randomness comes in. But the cars that are fast and the cars that are going to run up front and the cars that are going to challenge to lead laps and, you know, challenge to win the race, I think there's less randomness in that, you know, because we see it time and time again, the cars that are really fast and the cars that, you know, produce speed in the pack are the cars that are going to run up front. So, you know, you're going to have to battle the Penske cars. You know, I think all four Stewart Haas Racing cars have been good at the restrictor plates when you look back over the last several years. And you know, specifically for us with the 10 team, you know, we had a shot to win the Daytona 500. Our car was really fast. Kurt and Kevin ran up front most of the Daytona 500, and coming back here in the spring, same thing. A lot of our Stewart Haas Racing cars ran up front and challenged the lead laps. So I think, you know, when you look at it, the Stewart Haas Racing cars, the Penske cars, the Gibbs cars will be good. You know, the Hendrick cars have been kind of hit and miss over the last couple of years on restrictor plate racing. So, you never know what they'll bring to the racetrack, but I'm sure they'll be fast. So, we'll just have to wait and see. Like I said, I think the randomness comes in play with just who and how the wreck happens and who gets involved.
Go to Kenny.
Kenny Bruce with KennyBruce.net. I'm going to skip the bacon for life question.
Oh man.
Is that like the lottery where you can take it all at once, but you get less? Or
no, I think it is. You only get selected to get bacon for the rest of your life. So I think they The details are online, like I said, at smithfield.com/baconforlife if you want to learn more, Kenny. But you literally get packages of bacon sent to your house for the rest of your life.
All right. You talked about nutrition, working with trainers and stuff like that. Have you ever worked with a sports psychologist? And is Talladega a track where you would want to go get a tune-up before?
I'm scared to work with any sort of psychologist about what they would tell me about my brain. I haven't. I throughout my career have gone gone through spells where I look up, you know, motivational quotes and post them, you know, on my mirror, on my bathroom at home or whatever, so you see it every morning. Or I've gone through, you know, times where, you know, different things to try and motivate yourself. But I've never worked with an actual sports psychologist. I know some guys have, and I know that's big in like the golfing community, and I know it's big in like tennis and other individualized sports. But I have not. I think coming into Talladega, you do have to have the right mindset. I think that is important, coming in here with the right frame of mind and being positive about it and being excited. I feel like you're already beat if you come here thinking, oh man, why did I sign up to do this? You know, we're just going to wreck and this is ridiculous and I hate restrictor plate racing. If you come in with that mindset, I feel like you're already beat. But, you know, for me, I've had enough success here that I don't come in with that mindset. I come in with the mindset here of I can win this race. You know, we can come here and we can win and we'll, you know, we're going to run up front and we're going to score stage points and we're going to have fast cars. So, you know, previous success, I feel like always helps the mindset come into different racetracks. And for me, Talladega has been a place where I've had success.
Any additional questions for Eric? We'll go back to Lee.
How long did it take you to get over Sunday? Because, I mean, it was heartbreaking seeing you standing outside the car, and I'm just wondering, you know, it was just so close. And
yeah, I feel like obviously Sunday night was rough, pretty frustrated and just a bunch of emotions all at once, you know, just because you feel like you're so close. And same thing at Loudon, so close, and just in Chicago, and so close, and having a fast car, and not getting to victory lane, and wanting it so bad. Like, I think that's the worst part, is like when you go into it with low expectations, and you know you're not a dominant car, and then all of a sudden you pop up and you're running up front, and it gets taken away. You're like, well. Shoot, we could have won that one. But like when you're the dominant car and you're leading laps and you're running up front and you really feel like you've got a shot to win and it gets taken away, that there's a lot of emotions that go through that, and just frustrated and mad and sad and angry and all those things all at the same time. So I was upset Sunday night, some of Monday, and by midday Monday, I was already focused on Talladega. You know, I'd already been on the phone several times with Johnny, my crew chief, and Tuesday morning got up and was at the shop bright and early at the shop and you know, seeing the guys. And once you see the guys and see that everybody else is over it and they're already, you know, working on Talladega cars and Dover's over, and everybody's focused on making sure our Talladega car's, you know, prepared and ready and fast, your mindset just shifts and you can't, like in this sport, I think the only race you can really relive for any length of time is Homestead. And then after that, you know, 'cause there's not another race. But for us, you know, that's one thing that's, you know, kind of nice is that whether you win, lose or draw, by Tuesday, you're already focused on the next race. So for me, that was the same. You know, by Tuesday morning, we're already focused on Talladega and talking about strategy, talking about the cars, talking about everything we need to do to get ready for this race. And we're only 10 points out. I think we went to Richmond the second race of the first round. I think we were 7 points out. And then we left Richmond 23 points to the good. So, you know, this could be a great weekend for us, and could be just what we need to get out of here. And whether we win or score a lot of points and put ourselves in good position to get ready to go to Kansas.
You were talking about coming in with a positive attitude, and that wasn't always the case in the 43. How long did it take you, once you went to Storthouse Racing, how long did it take you to shed that, you know, I won't say attitude, but I've kind of seen it in Bubba already. How long did it take you to get to the point where every time you went to the track, you knew you were, you know, you were just going to be dialed in and had a shot at winning?
From the day that we made the announcement that I was going to go there, you know, I think it was, it's evident. Like, as a race car driver, all you can ask for is the car that you get in be the best, you know. And when I worked on all my own stuff, my late models and all those things back home, you know, that was what I strived for. I worked, you know, till midnight, 2 a.m., almost every night during the week on my late model to make it the best that I knew how to make it. And then would, you know, get up the next morning and go to school and then do the same thing again that next night. And the guys that left their cars on the trailer from when they got home from the weekend, you know, before, took it out Friday, worked on it, cleaned it up, and took it back to the track on Saturday, we whipped their butt because we were prepared and we had the best race cars. And, you know, I put the work and the effort, and my grandfather obviously helped with the resource side of it. And I feel like, you know, showing up to the racetrack with the best race car puts you at an advantage already. And then the driver and team got to go do their part. And that's, you know, it's very evident that Stewart Haas Racing is probably one of the best, if not the best team in the garage area. So showing up there, you know, to the shop and seeing the amount of effort and resources and things that they have to make race cars go fast. You know, I knew I was going to show up to the racetrack every week with a car capable of winning. And when you know that and you see it with your own eyes, you just get excited about going to the racetrack, and you don't even care what racetrack it is. You know that every track that you go to, you know, you're going to have a fast race car, and they're going to have the tools and the things that they need to make the cars fast. And if they don't, if you're off one weekend, they know exactly what's wrong. They know where to go find it, how to fix it, and how to get it implemented into the cars as soon as possible. And that, as a race car driver, that's a dream come true. Yep.
All right, Eric, thanks for joining us. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks.